If you've experienced a DNA surprise, you know that your emotions can range from shock to denial to grief to anger to confusion to joy and around again. And sometimes it's hard to find people who understand this unique experience. Sometimes we feel a little stuck as we navigate this journey. That's why we created the DNA Surprise Retreat. At the DNA Surprise Retreat, you'll enjoy 6 expert-led sessions to help you process your DNA surprise. You'll eat delicious catered meals, and most importantly, you'll build beautiful friendships with people who understand you, all in a stunning private ranch facility in the Arizona desert. If you've had shocking DNA test results, know that you're not alone. This retreat is for you. Join us September 19th through the 22nd, 2024 in Phoenix, Arizona. Registration is open now. Reserve your space at dnasurpriseretreat.com. I'll see you there.
And I'm glad that I had the support that I did through like Right to Know, DNA Angels, my counselor, to handle it well. And I think because if I did what I wanted to do in my mind, it would have been find out who he is, get a picture of him, drop him, and then immediately run to my family and be like, "You all are bastards and liars." Right. Yeah, I realized as an adult, like I was like, I don't want to do that.
Right.
I don't want that with this. I've already lost a lot. Right. To the point where I'm able to no contact with most people, I'm not going to do this again. And that's why I ended up waiting and just sitting with it. And it was the best thing for me to do because it gave me time to let it go. And when the time naturally came to have conversations, it was fine.
Imagine spitting into a tube, sending off your DNA, and unknowingly turning your life upside down. For me and thousands of others, this is our reality. I'm your host, Alexis Auerselt. In July of 2021, I discovered that I am an NPE, someone who has experienced a non-paternal event. In other words, my biological father isn't who I thought he was. This podcast shares the journeys of people who were shocked by a DNA discovery, mostly through modern DNA testing. We're telling the stories of NPEs, adoptees, and donor-conceived people and their families. This is DNA Surprises. Michael Paul always felt different from his family. He was treated different than his 2 younger brothers and went through multiple periods of estrangement from his raised parents. In this week's episode, he shares how he finally learned the truth through a consumer DNA testing kit. He tells us how he connected with his biological dad and why he ultimately made the difficult decision to go no contact with his raised family. Thank you for sharing your story, Michael Paul.
My name is Michael Paul. I'm 28 years old. I grew up in Columbus, Ohio. I was the firstborn child on both sides of my raised dad's side and my mother's. The story that I was always told was that everyone was head over heels for me, and they were really excited. It really just like this picture perfect esque, like too good to be true looking at it story. Things were fine. And then I ended up having my mom and dad, my raised dad, had their first child, my brother, and then ended up 6 years later having one more brother. I always felt that life was normal. Once I got around 6th or 7th grade, and there were like noticeable differences that I was very aware of and in tune with. The thing that's so funny to me is that I have brown eyes and I'm the only one in the entire family. Anybody that has taken a basic genetics class knows the chances of that are almost impossible. It's like a 25% chance. It's far and few between. And I remember learning like basic biology as a kid and being like, this is not right. And the thing is that everybody there, like nobody was lying to me, that they were just dead set on this as your dad. And I always let it go despite not having anything in common with him, not having a lot in common with my brothers, having more or less in common with my mom, and, you know, people realizing like my mom's personality and mine are relatively the same.
So did you ask, did you blatantly ask, am I related or am I adopted?
So around 12 or 13, this is one of the worst memories that I have to carry ever, because it just came as a total shock. They were putting me in Catholic school. I was not academically proficient enough. My brothers went to one of the top private schools in the state. And my parents are not wealthy at all. It's just they really prioritize education. And I think to save face, they wanted us in private schools because they knew that they were better. And the other option, if you can't get into these really prestigious private schools in the area, is to send your children to Catholic school. Because the public school system, you're just likely to get a better education. And we had no affiliation with Catholicism at all or anything, but I was being sent to a private school. And because I was being almost brought up in a way as Catholic and like learning religion, I was very much in tune with like, there are certain things you should and shouldn't do, especially around premarital, you know, like intercourse and everything like that. So I'm 13 years old. I'm very, at this point, intertwined with my grandparents. My grandparents more or less raised me 3/4 of the time, which I always thought was bizarre because my mom and dad had the resources to do so. It was just always like, go with your grandparents, go with your grandparents. And my two brothers and my mom and dad are off doing their own thing. And so I was already noticeably different without anybody else knowing. Mm-hmm. There was like a big schism going on. And so my grandparents are just more or less my parents. And I'm sitting at my grandparents' house, and our family, they got together for my 13th birthday. And my mom's youngest sister at the time had been pregnant with her first child, and she wasn't married. She had like a long-term boyfriend. And they had been ridiculing her for that and making fun of her. And what ended up happening was my aunt, and I remember it to this day, goes, well, you and Mike weren't married when Michael was born. And it all worked out. So what's the problem? And I remember being felt like I got thrown through a wall because the rhetoric that I was told was something that was so different. I remember being 13 years old, cake in front of me. And then to hear that was like life altering. And so then I didn't have the vernacular understanding or like, you know, you're 13, you don't have the whole picture. But like my little worldview, I went, something isn't right because this is not what I've been taught at school. And I just had too much trust to like not necessarily believe them. So what ended up happening after that event was my mom stopped talking to my aunt for 3 years after that. It was a major, major, major schism.
The revelation that you were born before your parents were married.
Because that was not what they had told me. For reference too, I guess that I was in their wedding and I had never, ever, ever seen a single picture. So they had kept this very hush-hush. And I'm thinking more like I hate to say this, but my raised father, I don't consider him calculating enough to like think of a secret like this. So I'm realizing as an adult, it's more or less my mom just pulling the strings more or less and getting him where she wanted him to be. And I start asking these questions. I go, this isn't what I was told. What's going on? And I remember I was at my parents' house and I'm like crying to my mom being like, will you tell me what's going on? This isn't what you guys told me. And she offered no recourse. She completely shut me out, just kept watching TV. And then finally, I just remember just like a very stern, that is your dad. And that was it. So I go to my grandparents. And this was the initial story that I told that made me not question more because it was close enough and they had enough conviction in what they were telling me that I had no reason to assume that they were lying. They told me that they were not married when they had me and that they had initially come to my grandparents to tell me that she was pregnant. And they told me, which I ended up finding out was not the whole truth, was that they told them to wait to get married to see if they really wanted to get married. I later found out that that's not the truth. So I'm just like, well, do they love me and things like this? And you have to understand, like, I'm already noticeably realizing that, like, for whatever reason, I'm being very much left out of certain things. And there's just certain instances in my life that already are adding up. I have to go to a different school. My parents are like vilifying and just saying that my brothers are cream of the crop and just really like boosting up their self-confidence. And then because I'm like bad at school or they think that I'm misbehaving, because I'm asking these questions, I'm already having like a noticeably different life.
Did you think that the reason that you were being treated differently was just because of your school performance and your questioning and like misbehaving? What did you think was happening as you're being treated so differently from your siblings?
This is the harder part of it too, is that this is a very deep, deep scar in my life, is that I was for sure a victim of child abuse. They were just neglecting my needs altogether. And I wasn't doing what my mom wanted. I think that my mom knew she had everybody in a certain corner the way that she wanted to. And I always resisted that. I always was against the grain. I wasn't like her other children. I love art. I was always working on some kind of a project. I had Legos on Legos on Legos, so interested in architecture and building things. And my brothers could not care at all. And so it was, I think, easier for her to just scapegoat it as I was a troubled kid and I was bad. And she was just keeping the whole truth. So I ended up being a victim of child abuse. And like that led to me constantly being tossed back and forth between my grandparents. And my grandparents, as troubled as they are too, were just like, well, he's our grandchild. And so they just would make sure I would go without. The example that I always give is just that my brother had a full-blown laptop. He was like maybe in sixth or seventh grade. And they just told me, well, you're a bad kid. And they gave him technological access to everything. And I was not allowed. I wasn't allowed to have friends. It was just a bizarre, like it was almost being like an only child. And so I'm going like, something has to not be right. I remember watching movies and being like, man, maybe that will happen to me. But because my grandparents were able to connect dots enough that made enough logical sense, and they told me in a way that I knew that they weren't lying or just keeping something from me, for the most part, I let that go.
Okay.
So that was my first inkling that something really wasn't right. And it really affected me for the rest of my life. I thought that something was wrong with me. Like, why are they keeping secrets from me? And at the time, I really just thought I was like a bad kid. But I wasn't. I was just different. And I was different because what I end up finding out is I just have a whole different dad.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I end up keep going to a Catholic high school. I went to my raised father's alma mater. And they sent me there because it was the top Catholic school in the state. So I'm still Catholic. While I'm doing that, I'm in this rigorous academic program. I'm couch surfing, and the narrative is still the same, that I'm a bad kid. They're restricting access from technology for me. I end up getting into a biology class. I'm like just proficient at biology. It was my favorite subject, despite everything I had going on, the poor self-confidence that I had from obviously hearing that like there's something wrong with me. I end up like finding that out of biology. And what I ended up doing, I went, something's not right. And I don't know if you're familiar with epigenetics or not, but there is necessarily our code of who we are is relatively the same. Certain environmental factors can turn on and off things. And my biology teacher at the time, because I mentioned this is really weird, they all have these cold blue eyes and I don't. And it just makes me feel different. And he was able to tell me, and I was able to understand at the time, I was like 15. He was like, so you know that your physical expressions, some of them can be turned on and turned off. You just inherited your eye color on a different part of your chromosomes. And it was enough to keep me quiet, enough for me to accept that this man that I did not feel any kind of connection, similarly to my mother, like I had the absolute bond with my mom. Absolutely. It didn't matter what she did to me. It didn't matter what she said to me. How mean she was to me. There's no way that I could ever cross her. Never had that with my raised father. I did not like him from like forever. I can just remember, I just didn't like him. And we were just so different that I was like, I'd have nothing to do with this man. So fast forward, I get through my crazy high school years where I'm like constantly back and forth, couch surfing, yada, yada, yada. I graduate. I end up going to university. And then I come back from Canada. And I get back in touch with my raised grandfather. He ended up telling me that there is a whole family association and that they can trace our first ancestor back. I've never had anything in common with these, like with my raised grandparents on that side. And I wasn't ever very close to them, like always a little bit in and out. And he wasn't really around in my life. Like he was more or less just there, but it was like, we only really saw him on holidays. And so he's just that kind of grandparent. And I went, oh, awesome. I have something that I like that he's interested in right now. And my step-grandma's really into it. So I'll just go ahead and like one of my distant cousins, quote unquote, distant cousins said, yeah, you should totally do it. Because like every white family, there's somebody that claims that there's like a Native American somewhere in your tree.
Yes.
And I went, that is bogus. And I waited for these to go on sale, and I always wanted to do one. It finally went on sale in 2019. Grabbed it. I went, man, I'm just going to get this for myself for Christmas. I got it and did not end up putting it together. What I ended up doing was the pandemic hit, quarantine hits where they tell us you can't go anywhere. I'm so bored. I go, man, I'm just going to do this. Like, what's the worst that will happen? Like, it just gives me something to do. And I can just resolve everything. I can get this whole Native American junk out of my family's head. No problem. I take it a month later. It comes back. Nothing out of the ordinary was expected. And as you know, like, and the reason I took it like was because Ancestry DNA has the largest commercial genetic database. So I knew the chances of it being accurate were really high. And that was the reason I had picked it, was because I just knew, I was like, it's most likely going to be correct. And with me being like privileged enough to say that, I would be able to know where I came from just because mm-hmm. of like my ethnicity. And I have that privilege. So I said, whatever, I'll just do it. Nothing came out of the ordinary. I remember looking at the results, and we're, according to my family, like German and Scottish and Irish. That's like the big three. I had like no German. It was like 10% Germanic. And I remember texting one of my younger brothers, because I did end up like reconnecting a little bit with my youngest brother after I had been gone for like 7 or 8 years. I remember texting him and being like, somebody's like lying to me, because I'm way more English than I thought. And I end up texting my raised step-grandmother, because she's also really interested in my grandfather's genealogy too. I think it's just something that they have in common. And I ended up telling her, I was like, I think that somebody's like not telling the truth, because I'm way more English than German. And what I understand is that we're almost 100% like Germanic. And if we can like trace our family back to colonial times, I should not be this level of genetic like ancestry coming from England.
Right.
And I, in my head, I'm thinking, wait a minute, 13, biology class, all of these things. And I'm like just joking with myself to like laugh it off. I ended up telling my grandma, I'm like, I think somebody is lying to me. It shouldn't be this high. And she ends up rationalizing out, and she's like, well, your grandmother was English. Your like grandfather's mom was English, and where you guys are from in Northern Ohio, because of how I was raised and being a couch surfer, I also worked in sales for a while. I've learned there's verbal cues and instructional cues that people will give where I can inherently tell just by the way they're communicating with me, they're not telling the whole truth, or they're outright lying. And I could tell, and she just had no reason to lie to me. I'm not close with her. I don't speak to her very often. So that I knew the chances of her lying to me were very low. And that side of the family, they don't operate the way that my mother's side does, which is very normal for them to keep information strategically from each other.
Okay.
And so I've just, because of how I grew up, I knew, I was like, well, she's not going to be lying to me. She has no reason to. I let it go. I was like, cool. It updated again like 6 months later in July 2021, and it eliminated all Germanic ancestry as it updated. And I went, well, that is really weird. Nothing came up. I didn't end up having any like matches. Fast forward through this year, things are good. I've gotten promoted. I new apartment, and I get a notification, and I'm working, and it says you have a new match. And I went, that's really weird. Maybe somebody just like took an ancestry DNA test. My test links to a bunch of people that I've never met, and a man that is 50% shared DNA. Name I have never seen, never heard, nothing. And I look at it, and I did a double take, and then I look again, and like my world flipped upside down. Because I had three different instances where I had been told there's no way. And I immediately stopped what I was doing at work, got up and went and called one of my closest friends. And I went and ended up saying, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Look at this.
Was it just like instant validation? What was that feeling when you first saw a match?
So it was a instance of stress, and how I end up doing that is I enjoy the shock value and making, like, when I feel stressed, sometimes I get like a bit of relief out of shock value, and I found that through like memes and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I end up mass sending jokes to people because I'm trying as hard as I can to keep it together. The mm-hmm. only way that I know how to do it is make a joke of it. Of like, I knew it. My mom's been lying to me. Da, 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 da. I could not believe it. I was like in a level of denial that was unreal. And then, so I'm gay. My boyfriend comes home and I went, hey, remember how I thought that my dad wasn't my dad? And I've told you this before. He goes, yeah. I was like, well, buckle up because it's real. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, it's 100% real. And I had downloaded the app onto my phone at that point and immediately handed my phone and said, I don't know who that man is. Like,
just no idea.
Yes. So I end up telling like close friends, because this had always come up of like, they're like, well, are you adopted? Da, 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 da. Why are they treating you so differently? And so I end up connecting with all of my friends from high school that had like watched me go through this horror story of like just difficulties with my family. And I went, I knew it. There's no way. And what's funny is I go to therapy for something else. And my therapist had brought that up from how differently I was being treated. And he had asked me without this information coming out and going, is your dad not really your dad? Is that why you were treated so differently? Just kind of asking to see if there was like things I wasn't telling him. And I remember sitting in his office in the middle of summer going, I cannot confirm it. I've had my suspicions. I immediately email him and go, I don't know if you remember us talking about this when we were doing intake. I did just find out that everything that I thought in the back of my mind was true is. So there was a bit of feeling of like, I knew it. Someone is a liar. Like that. Mm-hmm. So it was a weird mix of like stressed and a bit of a confirmation of I was happy that I was finding out the truth, but it was more or less like stress. I had already gone through so much in my life, and then to find this out was another piece to my puzzle of what have they brought me in? What has my mom and dad brought me into?
Right.
So it was like a shock, like, because I'm already coming from a very unhealthy family that has very, I guess, like intermeshed dynamics, and they're not very nice to each other, and they are all wound up in this level of like hush hush. So for me to find this out, I went, oh man. And my initial inkling was to go to them and start like yelling, because I had not seen them because of the pandemic, and I've been out of the family unit for such a long time as an adult. And because of the pandemic and not seeing them, something in the back of my head went, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. They've already lied to you before. Do not go run to them right now. You're not going to get the truth.
Interesting.
Stop. Tell the people that you trust. Tell your therapist. Go from there. I'm still like thinking about the day, and the emotions that are coming back up is like, I knew it. Like there was a reason that they were being so mean to me. And so that was the secondary reaction, was the family knew and just kept it from me. And for whatever reason, that was my initial reaction. And that's why I ended up keeping it from them, because I was so in the moment, ready to just attack, 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 and like go back into the family game and be like, I've got a new deck because somebody's been lying to me. It was just like the next day was just overwhelming. I ended up calling off of work. I couldn't get myself to do anything. And I just remember being asleep.
Yeah.
Afterwards. Like it was, I'm sure that you can relate in some way. It's just like, what is going on? Like an atomic bomb went off in my head. Because I had heard three different times, you are being crazy, you are being crazy, you are being crazy, just let it go, just let it go, just let it go. And then the whole time to be like, I'm right, it just hit me. I had to take off the next day.
Did you reach out to your biological father? Did you wait? Like what was your thought in terms of wanting to connect with this new family?
So because of how... So I ended up... Like after I had taken a day off to think about it, I remember feeling very alone. And then I went, well, he had been online like a month before. So I was like, well, he's alive. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Because I was like, where could this man even be? I have never heard of him ever. And so it took like a month. I ended up reaching out to my second cousin out of the blue. And I just said, hey, I'm looking for this man. He claims to be my biological father. I'm just trying to get things together. My plan of attack, because I knew that this was going to be earth shattering to a family system that hides the truth, because like I didn't know. So I know that they're hiding something. I decided that I was like, if I don't know who this is, my just gut told me, if I don't know who this is, it's best to get his side of the story first, because they've already lied to me 3 or 4 times. So I got a touch of my second cousin, which is his first cousin, didn't hear anything for about a month. So I'm sitting, and like you, I ended up telling my job, I ended up having to disclose this, and I really didn't like to. But I ended up disclosing him, look, I ended up finding my dad is not my dad. I've paired with this man that's not there. I've had this suspicion. I didn't work a single Friday for the rest of the year. It was all about letting myself go back through, piece everything together, talk to close friends and family. And then I wanted to get a hold of him. On my dad's side of the family, I ended up getting in touch with my second cousin. He ends up replying back and he goes, who are you? And how do you know these people? I said, and I told him the truth. And I said, so I don't. And he's like, well, who else have you talked to? I said, so here's the thing. I'm realizing that if I have no idea who you are, you most likely don't know about me. I told him, I want to piece things together. And I knew that if I didn't know about you, you guys most likely don't know about me. I did not want to end up causing trouble for anybody. I'm just trying to figure this out. I think it's really exciting. I put a positive spin on it because I really am excited a couple of months removed from it. He ends up going, well, where are you from? And we just hash out details. And he goes, oh my gosh, your dad lived in Columbus for a while. And he goes, oh dear. And so I end up telling him, like, I was like, I'm completely real. You can connect with me on Facebook. Like, here's my Facebook. And I remember him going, you look so much like him. And he just goes, oh no. And he asked me one more time, who have you talked to? And I said, I have not talked to anybody. I did not want to cause a stir. I didn't want to shock anybody. I'm just trying to put the pieces together. And he ends up going, well, let me talk to your dad. An hour later, he goes, so he's completely shocked and has no idea. I go, okay. I'm just, again, trying to figure this out. This is exciting for me and a shock too. I didn't have any idea either. And I left him on a hanger of, I have all my mom's information. I want to line this stuff up. Here's my contact information. Have him contact me. Thanks in advance. I left it at that. I wanted the ball to be in their court. And because I, at this point, had been in support groups like Right to Know and DNA Angels, I had worked with them to make sure I could even find my dad. I had known the reality that it could not have gone well. Mm-hmm. And through therapy, I knew that there was a good chance that I could get a secondary rejection. And because what I had already been through, my parents had ended ultimately like said their piece with me when I was 17. So I had already been rejected once. I knew I was not going to be able to handle a secondary rejection from somebody that didn't know me.
So at this point, you have no relationship with your parents, like as of when you were 17 years old?
That's correct. So I started couch surfing when I was 15. I would come back and forth. And the reason that I was staying, the reason that I held an address there was because Catholics really pride family to the point that it's unhealthy. And there, I had looked up the dogma of the school. I wanted to stay in the school. They told me, and it was inside of it that you have to live with your family. So I strictly kept the address and everything specifically so that I could stay going to school. The only contact that I ever had with my parents is that they were randomly home when I was home, which was almost never, and things like that. So it had been like years. I hadn't spoken to my mom or my dad. I've seen them for maybe a total of like 3 hours in 10 years. I saw them once at a funeral, and then my youngest brother graduated high school. That was the last time that I had seen them. So it had been like 3 or 4 years by this point in 2021.
Okay, so you had braced yourself for your biological father to potentially reject you in the same way that your parents had.
Yes, I was, because of the association with parents, like my mind, because of how rough I had it, parents equals bad. That's just how my mind processes things. And I remember being like, he's not going to contact me. And I remember going into therapy and my therapist was like, you need to stop looking at your screen. because he, you have given him enough information that he will contact you. He has to be curious. A week later, I get a text. Hey, this is George. I understand we share some DNA. And I ended up calling him. Then I was like, I'm free right now and available to talk. Like, I would love to figure this out. And I was like very positive about it. He goes, okay. And called me right then and there. I was so surprised. Wow. Because I was not used to that kind of kindness out of somebody that I would register as family. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't. Like, I wasn't used to somebody just being polite and courteous. And they were so nice. It was just bizarre to me. So I get on the phone with somebody that has my, that's the way I describe it to people. I was like, I never thought I would hear my voice come out of someone else's mouth.
Wow.
And that was the thing that was funny. And I joke with people, like, I was used to be like, well, I'm the mystery. And like, I don't really know what I'm going to look like. And that was exciting. And then I'm talking to my dad, and it was the most affirming thing I've had in my adult life. But part of me is like, oh man, now I know like what's going to happen to me, because like I found my biological father, and if he has the same voice as I do. And that was the thing, like I didn't sound like my family. And I remember saying things like that, like, I don't really sound like them. Like, when is this going to happen to me? And it never did. And then to hear like within 5 minutes, somebody's voice that is to a T almost like mine, it was the most affirming, but in the same way, like life altering moment of my life.
Yeah. What did he say?
So I'm kind of laughing with him. I'm like, so, you know, initially I thought that this was a joke because I had done my research. I had looked on Ancestry DNA and been like, no, there's gotta be a fluke. Like these things happen. I've worked with my DNA angel 1,000 times over. And she's like, I think that you're experiencing denial. Cause I remember going back and forth to me, like, there's no way that this is right. And so I tell him that. I'm like, so when I first attempted to contact you on Ancestry, I was really thinking that this was a mistake, and I'm realizing now it's not. And he goes, yep. He was like so calm and confident about it. And I ended up like getting the pieces together, and I go, so this is my mom. Her name's Michelle. You know, I understand that you live in Columbus. And he was very honest and was like, so I've known a couple of Michelles, but I don't know any last names. Because I ended up telling him what her maiden name was. I had it all scripted. I just dropped it and went, you know what, can I just send you a picture really quick? And he's like, yeah, that's fine. I sent her a picture of the last time that I saw her. So give it 25 years since their encounter. Mm-hmm. Without pausing. He goes, yeah, that's her. I had like a relationship with her. I sunk. Like, I remember feeling like Mario when he gets smashed by the blocks.
Yeah.
Like just shrunk, like flattened. And I held my composure and kept it together. I went, okay, wow. Like, I just said, wow. I didn't know what else to do. So that's when he starts going, and he just like real politely goes, well, can I ask you a couple of questions? And I was like, yeah, sure. And he goes, so how did you get your last name? And I ended up telling him, I was like, well, they got married like after I was born. And I was always told that that was my dad. And he was like very understanding and was like, well, I don't really judge, and like people do what they're going to do. How old are you? And I was like, I'm 27. And he goes, okay, well, when did they get married? And I was like, so I don't know. And he was like, have you talked to them about it? And all these questions. And this was really hard for me to like have to discuss, to be like, I don't have a good relationship with them. And I just told him flat out, they've already lied to me before. You are most likely not going to lie to me because you don't know who I am. And I don't know who you are. And I just remember like telling him like that. And then what we ended up piecing together was that they lived in the same apartment building. They weren't close, but they would go out together. That was how I was created. It was just a thing, but they weren't very close.
Kind of a casual relationship sort of thing.
Very casual.
Okay.
And I go, well, that doesn't make sense because they told me that they were together and everything when they got married. And what we ended up piecing together was that my mom was in a relationship with my raised father and just didn't say anything to my biological father.
Okay.
And I went, that makes the most sense. And now he does not know this, but I'm remembering like in high school, my mom had a couple of affairs against my raised father.
Mm.
And so I went, oh my gosh, I'm one of her flings. And she just didn't say anything to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm remembering their history. And I'm like, well, my dad's really violent. So maybe he would have like had an issue and would have had an outburst or something. I don't know. And where we left off with me and my real dad was I went, so look, I'm not expecting a lot and I would like to go slow with this. This is like mind altering. And he was so nice. He's like, I'm really sorry that you're going through all of this. I was like, I'm sorry for you too. Like, you didn't know you had a kid because nobody told you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just said, I would really like to keep things, you know, just let's just go slow. Like, I'm not going anywhere. I would love to keep talking to you. I am available whenever through text, you know, and he was like, yeah. And he just was very upfront of like, I'm not the best texter. So you have to do the legwork. And I said, that's okay. I'm fine with that. And that's where we ended up leaving off. It was very slow communication. Thanksgiving rolls around and his girlfriend ends up contacting me on Facebook and ends up welcoming me per se, because like I haven't met them because he lives in New York where he's from now.
Okay.
She ends up being like, I know this is a lot and I'm really sorry if like he's not connecting the way that you want him to or anything. He does take a minute to warm up to people, which is funny because that's the same thing for me. I'm very cautious of people before I really open up. And I just like told her, I was like, I'm more happy than anything that he's willing to talk to me. This is awesome. And this is really exciting for me. And thank you for being like open and welcoming me. And so they've been like really, really nice through the whole thing. So moving forward, like with him, he knows my birthday. He told me happy birthday. I turned 28 last week.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And you know, he's like, happy birthday, young man. And like we talk, I ended up adopting a dog over Thanksgiving. And like, I sent him pictures of my dog. So it was a very casual relationship, but like the thing that's so funny is I finally got a picture of him and my second cousin was so correct. I call it like a joke, like psychic damage, because my head physically hurt seeing someone that looks like me.
Yeah.
This man has my body if I was 30 years older. It was insane. And like I got physically sick from it because I just never was able to find that biological mirroring.
Mm-hmm. That's important.
At that point, I start to get really angry at my mother. I grew up and I butted heads with her constantly. I just, like I mentioned, I never did what she wanted me to do. My interests were not what she wanted me to be interested in. I was so creative and so interested in art and she wouldn't let me do it. I used to have artwork all up on my walls in the room that they let me have. And she took it all down and she would not let me draw. And I just remember being like, you robbed me of the potential that I was supposed to have. And this is where the story ends up progressing a little bit more, is after I had that phone call, I'm bawling because I'm like, oh, this man is a professionally trained carpenter. I was constantly building forts. And I had won like a couple of medals in middle school for like when they do like stress tests for architecture. Mm-hmm. I had gotten first place in so many of them. And I remember always being fascinated with Legos and building and projects. And I love cars. Come to find out, this man has 5 motorcycles. He's a professionally trained carpenter. I go, you know, that's really funny because I remember constantly being grounded or in trouble for creating things. And so I got so angry because I went, she robbed me. She robbed me. And so that has followed me even up to this point of how much did I lose? Mm-hmm. On the other side of the coin, I'm really thankful that my mom's secrets didn't cause so much damage that I didn't get a chance to talk to my dad. That's the most that I'm grateful for out of all of this. I found him. He hasn't rejected me. The relationship is casual enough that like he replies pretty quickly now to my text messages. And just a once a week, hey, how are you? And I couldn't ask for anything more out of the situation. This is a hard situation for everybody. I know just from talking to people that he's absolutely in shock, as am I. And like, that's the most rewarding thing out of all of this, is that I found my dad. It's not too late. I'm young. Mm-hmm. And he's willing to talk to me. And like, even to this day, on the side of like my mom's problems that she tied me into, those are relatively gone. And I'm like, man, I got the golden egg of the situation because my dad hasn't written me off. And come to find out, on my dad's side, his sister and him, they had no known children between the two of them until me.
Okay, that was what I was going to ask, is did you discover any siblings? So you are an only child to him.
Yes. And so I am getting to know him, and it's fantastic. I don't know if that's, you know, a factor for him of like the realization. I'm sure it's the realization of like, well, shit, I've got a son. Excuse my language.
You're fine.
You know, like, and it's going to pass on. You know, it's not the end of the line. I'm sure that his whole narrative is just completely washed away. So that side of finding this new family has been a blessing. I've never had a no strings attached relationship with a family member like that, where it's not like, well, what did you do for me? What did I do for you? Or in my family, I was always the loser. And it's not like that with him.
Do you have any plans to go see him?
So I haven't talked with him yet. I'm going to go see Charlie XCX in New York City in April.
Awesome.
I want to bring it up to him that I will be around in New York. Where it's just that I'm not sure what to expect. And because of the volatile situations I've been in, I left it at that. Right now, my feelings are I do want to go meet him. It's been going really well. And I don't think that he would be opposed to it, to just sit down and have lunch. And knowing me, I'm just going to make a whole joke out of it anyways. He'd be like, man, you look so much like me. And then just go right into just talking. Because he's my dad and I can absolutely see it when I see pictures.
That's so great. Did you ever go back to your family? Maybe not say, you bastards, you're all liars, but did you go back to them and say, I found my father, I know the truth?
So I did. And this is the part that is going to be really hard in my story. I was running in circles. And this was December. This was right before the new year. Running my mind in circles. My therapist ends up telling me verbatim, you're mind fucking yourself. Stop. And something switched. And I was like, I know that the time's to be right. And a switch hit me. And I went, you know what? Go call off work, make your rounds. I end up calling family members. I wanted to do this all in person because I knew that this was going to be like a bombshell for everybody. I go to my aunt's house. The funniest thing happens. I end up going and she's watching daytime court shows. And it was about paternity tests.
Of course.
I'm not kidding. And so I end up laughing. I'm like, oh, paternity test, that's funny. And she's like, well, what do you mean? Because she was like, she was trying to get the answer out of me before I came over. And she's like, well, are you getting married? I was like, no, I'm not dying. I still need to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, tell me. I'm like, I will tell you when I come over. It's not appropriate. And so I end up going and just telling her straight up. So my dad's not my dad. And I found out through Ancestry DNA. And she goes, you're kidding, right? And I go, no, I'm not. That was the sister that was not spoken to for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And she goes, that's not true. I remember when they got back together and they were pregnant with you. I was like, well, that's not my dad. I think she's either lying because she didn't know, or she's lying because she knew and didn't say anything. And I put it as neutral as I could, despite the history of my mom. I did not want to put my personal bias on it. I remember her saying this verbatim. Man, your mom's going to have a deep skeleton come out of the closet with this one. And so she was affirming to me that something wasn't right. So I end up leaving her house and she's like, well, who are she going to tell? You shouldn't tell anybody. And why didn't you say anything? I answered those three questions. I said, I'm telling everybody. I am not carrying this with me. It's not fair. Everybody, I think, has the right to know. So I'm going to tell everybody. And my aunt was like, well, this isn't fair to anybody. And I was like, it's not fair to me. First off, there's a big denial in it. They did not want me to stir up things. So I go to my grandparents' house. I had not spoken to my grandparents in a while because of this. I had been very frustrated. And I was like, they knew. And I was like, do not go over there and assume, because they most likely don't know. If you didn't know, I think that they don't know. So I end up catching up with them. And the conversation ends up boiling down to, so my dad's not my dad. My grandma isn't coherent enough really to have a grasp on the situation. So it was all my grandfather. He's a very, very difficult man to get along with, and was very, no, it's not true. What it boiled down to with that conversation was, well, you still had a dad. Why do you care? This is inconvenient for me to know. Why did you come over here and say anything? And then he ended up being very much like, well, your mom doesn't know, and why do you care? You know the truth. I said, you know, I'm really sorry that your daughter made this choice and it sucks. I'm not going to stay quiet about it. I am going to tell everybody. He did not care to know, and he did not care that he was more upset that I was disturbing the status quo. Mm-hmm. It had been like a 3 or 4 hour discussion back and forth. Finally, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go. I have some stuff to do, and I just adopted a dog. I want to go home and play with the dog. And he ends up saying, well, why haven't you said anything or been over in the last 3 or 4 months? And I said verbatim, and I was very honest and genuine. I said, I was not sure who knew what. And so I ended up finding out, in summary, he didn't know. They did not have any idea. In short, I told him, I was very shocked by this situation. I was very hurt, and I did not want to come over here accusing you and yelling at you. So I stayed away. He got so upset by that he pushed me out of the door and slammed the door behind me.
Physically pushed you?
Yes. I'm a bigger person, but he pushed me so that I would get out of the house.
Wow.
I felt so bad that I knew in finding this out too, what was going to happen was I was going to have to go no contact with everybody. And that affirmed it in that moment. Mm. I went, man, I feel really bad. I feel really hurt that this is happening to me. And it was just shut up and deal with it. And I went, I'm never talking to these people again. So I'm driving home. He calls me on the phone. You know, if you say anything about this, you are going to destroy the whole family. And there are going to be people that will never talk to you again. So he was threatening me to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, I'm really sorry that my mom did this. This sucks for me. He ends up hanging up the phone. This is the last time I ever spoke to him too, which is gut-wrenching to me because I didn't want it to be this way. It is. I sent a text and a joint to my raised father and my raised mother. Granted, I have not had contact with them in 10 years. It was essentially, you know, I was ready to put everything behind me about what happened. I was getting to the point where the thought of you was not infuriating and the thought of you was not hurtful. I was able to put it all behind me. And then I told them, so I thought the icing on the cake was coming up. And I said, so I log into my Ancestry DNA account and there's a man's name that I've matched with that I've never known and never met. What does this mean? We have a shared 50% DNA. This is my dad. And I told my mom in the text message, you have been lying to me from the start and you have been lying to everybody else. I don't know why you chose to be this way or why you chose to do it. And I want you to know that you have set me up to fail. Every time I felt different, I was bullied, made fun of. It was because you were not honest to me. And I ended up having to tell them, because of this situation, it's enough for me to mend any contact that I may have had with you where I was cordial. I have amended it to nothing. I do not want to speak to you anymore because of this. And this is enough for me to say goodbye. I addressed my raised father by name because by this point I was comfortable enough. And I said, I am terribly sorry because I didn't know. I assume you didn't know either. This is a lot. I do want you to know because of how I was raised and how difficult it was. This does not change the situation for you. As a person, I really hope that you choose to go get help. And I sent them resources for therapy. And this is why I'm saying my story is complicated is because there was already an abuse cycle that I had managed to mostly get out of. And I knew that this was going to be goodbye because this was the last straw for me. I was like, there's no way they have dug me into another problem. I was like, there's no way. I'm 28 years old and my life shouldn't be this stressful.
Right. And you still did the work of sending them resources to get help.
And that's how I knew that I was done. I've done a lot of research of going no contact. And the trend that I found was when therapy resources start being sent to the offending party, it's pretty much done. It's and I was just I can't deal with this anymore. This isn't even my problem. And here I am. And she's just robbed from me. So I ended up sending them the resources. I'd send them articles of this is not wrong. I sent them the resources and I told my mom, read these resources. And if you want a reason to know why I do not want anything to do with you ever again, go back and look at this. You were never honest to me or anyone else.
So did they respond?
So I did not let them have the choice. I did block them because I had an issue with harassment with my mother to the point that I had to ask the police to have her halt contact with me. And it makes me really sad. And why I say that is because I understand the value of family. And I never, ever, ever, even when I was younger from the get-go, I never wanted it to be this way. I remember asking myself always, why? I had talked to my raised grandfather because I was at this point, I was I am not carrying this with me. And really, the person that cares the most does not hide the truth. And that was how my mom's side of the family was spinning it, was that, well, how could you do that to your dad? My raised dad.
Right.
And I told them, I was like, so I am considering his feelings and I'm doing that by telling him the truth. Keeping him in the dark about this, despite how soul crushing it is not fair.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. He deserves to know the truth. And they just were like floored that I was willing to take that risk. So I had wanted to go over to my raised grandfather's side, and I had told him, hey, I just want you to know, you know, I found some stuff out about me through Ancestry. I need to talk to you. And we had planned for 9 o'clock that Friday morning. I get there. The doors are locked. I ring the doorbell. He didn't answer. So I'm already like in a charged state because I'm like, I'm afraid of repercussion. And he just didn't answer the door. So again, my choice to go no contact with my family was just more solidified. I was like, they're not taking this seriously. Mm-hmm. And this is a shit situation for me.
Yeah.
And it was all, that was always how it was. It was like, my problems just didn't matter. And like, this wasn't even my problem. This was my mom's.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because she did this.
It was not your choice. Right.
Yes. And I was just born. Like, that's it. And so I ended up like getting really frustrated, but I just let it go because like he's a very aloof person and like he didn't mean it intentionally. I just, for whatever reason, he flaked. He probably didn't really want to talk and just didn't answer the door. So I do end up telling him in a text. I go, so I need you to know this. I'm not your biological grandchild. I'm really sorry because this sucks for me. And I'm really sorry that it had to be me. I didn't want it to be this way. It is what it is. And I'm sorry. I sent him the same resources that I sent my mom, and all he had to say back was, what you said to me was really interesting. And I just was floored. I could not believe it. And like, my mind is like on paranoia. I'm like, somebody knows, somebody knows, somebody knows, somebody knows, repeating, repeating, repeating. The whole time, I just laughed. I was like, is this the response that I'm getting from everyone about this situation? So I have one other aunt. This aunt, I would say out of all of them, is the most stable, has like a relatively good life. My cousins are very well adjusted. You know, they go to school, they live good lives. But she always would like hold that against me. And I had wanted to speak with her about it. Well, my aunt ended up confessing to me, the story's lined up. What had happened was my raised father had broken up with my mom, was not going to get back together with her. Mm-hmm. They were still involved while this casual relationship was going on with my real father. My mother ended up becoming pregnant, said nothing, absolutely nothing to my biological father, immediately went to my raised father and said, I am pregnant. They got together and got married because of me. I just feel as a human for my raised father, despite what I grew up for, I'm almost devastated for him that he wanted to believe so bad, and my mother just wanted it to play out the way that she wanted to. I could not imagine being in that spot 30 years later, finding out that the whole relationship was not honest from the get-go.
So you believe that she knew and he did not?
Because of my mother's history of having affairs when I was in high school, I genuinely believe that she just didn't say anything. The other question that pops into my mind is, if my biological father and my mom lived in the same apartment complex and they were going out with the same group of people, it should have been known. Knowing my mother and how she's the kind of person, she's the manipulator that pushes you over the edge and then says that you're the bad person because she pushed you over the edge. Mm-hmm. So I wish that I could say that my mom didn't do this meticulously, but everything that she said to everybody after, according to my aunt, was that she didn't know. I genuinely think that she did know. It's that she wanted my raised father back so bad that she knew, regardless of who got her pregnant, that was enough to get him to go back to her. What I ended up finding out was that my raised grandfather had told him to marry her and to do the right thing.
Okay.
So the comment of being, what you said to me is really interesting, is because everybody's going, oh shit, it's not true.
Lied. Yeah.
Yes. So I have been living with this empty shell of like realizing that my mom had made my life the way that it was for her personal gain. She was not willing to be honest for whatever reason. And she just wanted what she wanted. And my life was the collateral, which is devastating to me.
What about your brothers?
So, oh my goodness. So I have one other brother that's close to me in age. He never liked me growing up. Mm. I had not spoken to him as long as I had not spoken to my parents. He never liked me. It did not matter what I had to say. If I was not on my mother's side, it did not matter. And so I had stopped talking to him altogether. My one brother, I just randomly sent him a text, and it was very nonchalant. Just, hey, I heard you're doing really well. That's awesome. This is just something that you need to know. I ended up finding out that dad's not my real dad. My ancestry DNA matched with another man, and it's 50%. I sent like a crying emoji. Just try to play it off.
Yeah.
And I was like, good luck in school and stuff. And then to sugarcoat it, I was like, by the way, I got a new dog. And like sent him a text. At 11 o'clock, I get this text message from him, and it starts off with, I read the text that you sent mom and dad. How dare you be so mean to them? And I was shocked. When I tell you, I was heartbroken. I could not believe it, because I kept my personal vendetta for the most part out of it. It was very to the point of, there's some dishonesty here. It's enough that I don't want any contact with you. This is serious. Go get help. And all he had to say was, did you end up texting? And so this is a human in me. Because of how my brother is, I knew that it would be more serious if I excluded my brother that's closer to me in age by not saying anything to him at all. Mm-hmm. And I knew it would shock them enough to pay attention, and it worked. He just ends up saying, you know what? I'm really tired of this. Just leave me alone. I had said what I had to say. And so I remember being very sad and just being like, okay, if this is how it's going to be, like, I'm the one that's really hurt in the situation. And my mom has him so wrapped up that she had managed to make it look like I was the bad guy for calling her out on her choices. Mm-hmm. I still couldn't believe it. I wasn't surprised because of how I grew up. That's how it always was. It didn't matter what I did. I was going to lose. But I was just still surprised that my adult brother could not fathom what was happening.
Right.
He was just like, you know what? You're still in this family, and you still had a dad, so what do you care? I just couldn't believe it. I felt betrayed again. Like, I really did. I was just like, man, this is like when I was, 15, and they're kicking me out of the house again. And he's like 7 years old just watching me and be like, yeah, get out of the house. Like, it was just re-traumatizing, really. And I was prepared enough for it. I had done the work in therapy, and this is why I waited so long, was because I needed to make sure I was going to be emotionally okay. And I can't say how happy I am that I had the resources that I did to not just go off, because if I had not planned it, I wouldn't have been able to do it. It was one of the roughest days ever, because I knew this was goodbye. And like, I still get like emotional about it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Like, that's so painful. So at this point now, you have your relationship with your raised family is just done. No contact with any of them.
For me to find this out like this is unacceptable. And the reason that I say that is the major health concerns that you might have. If my dad had been dead or something, like, I would have never known. And the example that I give is, I ended up having a hernia in 2019. My dad has had three. The narrative around that was that I got the hernia because I was out of shape and weak. Really what it was I'm clearly genetically predispositioned to it. Mm-hmm. And my mom kept that from me. And that was why I went, this is too far.
Right.
Yeah. There was just nothing that she did not care about that. And she really led me to think that there was something wrong with me when she could have been honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are you? This is all relatively fresh for you. And I know you've been doing a lot of work, as soon as you kind of found out. Where do you feel like you're at right now, just emotionally and everything, in your journey?
On my dad's side, it's exciting, fun. I find somebody that, I can like talk to about stuff, and it's not like emotionally charged, or there's a history, which is nice. I do look forward to meeting him one day. And I think that, once he realizes that I'm just coming wanting a relationship, I think it's going to really take off. And I'll just put my best foot forward, and what happens, happens, and roll with it. Because, it's a unique situation for both of us. So that side, awesome. I couldn't be happier. If he responds to a text, I will take it. It's way better than what I'm used to. I couldn't ask for anything more. And now I'm like winning. And the joke that I have in myself is like, as an artist, the imagery that I used to see is an angel with one wing. And now in my mind, when I'm thinking of myself as like a cartoon character or something, it's like a full restored picture because I have the whole picture. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a series of redemption for me of, don't feel bad about yourself. You're strong because your dad's strong. You like projects and you're creative and you can design because he designs. And just knowing and like being able to see precursors of like what to look out for with health, I will absolutely take it. I have won the lottery in the NPE story on that, and I could not be more grateful. And I get so much support from people. And really, if I didn't have the support, I wouldn't handle it as well. So it's awesome. On the flip side, there is the sad story of a child that was brought into a mother's game, losing everything. And that has been excruciating. I can't stop thinking about it. I go through and like, I just still can't believe that she did this. And like, part of me wants to go back to try to like fix it. But as an adult, I just know you did what you needed to do. You, as hard as it was, you considered everybody's feelings by being honest. Mm-hmm. And as much loss as you have had, whatever they decide to do, hopefully they end up, you know, looking really at themselves and the family structure. And maybe, you know, in this loss of me going no contact, they end up, you know, hopefully for the better. Whether they do, I don't know.
What advice would you give a parent that is keeping a DNA surprise from their child?
So really, it's just downright honesty. That's it. I really don't think it would have changed anything. And I really look back at it of like when we said our final goodbye, had she told me, I could have started so much earlier figuring it out. And I think that she stifled my quality of life. She should have just been honest.
Yeah.
They have the resources that she would have been fine. Just honesty. And then maybe this is coming from a privileged aspect of like, being a gay man, if I want to adopt somebody, I can't avoid that conversation.
Right.
And I just think of it like that. And maybe it's that perspective of like, honesty is the best policy. I would never want like a future child to not know where they come from. And if they're having these inklings of things not being right, you know, letting them explore that and not shutting that out. Because the worst that happens is like somebody finds out the truth and then it doesn't pan out the way that you want to. And that's okay. And I don't think people need to be afraid of the hard work that comes with that. It's a part of life. And I just, yeah.
Yeah.
Honesty.
What advice would you give someone who just found out that they are an NPE?
I would do what I did. Immediately get help. Right to Know was awesome. The DNA Angels were absolutely amazing. Got me connected with so many people. You are not alone. Get help. It's going to rack your brain like crazy. And as much as you want to tell yourself you're fine, it is a ego and personality altering event that can, if not managed well, potentially cause the life that you've built to be impacted by that. Seek help, seek support, and take your time with it. You know, it's a unique situation. That being said, you're not alone.
Michael Paul, thank you so much for sharing your story on the podcast. This
absolutely
was so great, just hearing about your perspective and your boundary setting with your family and the things that you're doing to protect yourself throughout this journey. Really appreciate your vulnerability. So thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
And the best of luck with building your relationship with your biological father.
Oh yeah, it's going to be fun. Thank you.
Thanks again to Michael Paul for sharing his story. If you have a DNA surprise story that you'd like to share, please email dnasurprises@gmail.com. And if you haven't yet, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Be sure to check back next week when we'll have our very first donor-conceived person tell her DNA surprise story. Until next time.